any radio show, not just this one. Turn off your radio, put your mouth in front of the mouthpiece, and please speak loudly.
All right, is this good enough?
That's much better.
All right, I just wanted to say that free speech is a good thing, and I agree that it shouldn't be silenced. However, the things that those people advocate are against everything that I hold dear. And when they advocate violence against other people, I'm not sure whether that, you know, that goes with, that should be protected under free speech, you know what I mean?
So you would have silenced the French resistance radio in World War II?
No, I would silence...
But that's what you said.
...advocates violence simply because of hatred.
Well, how do you know it's because of hatred? Have you ever studied their viewpoint? Now, I'm not saying that their viewpoint is right. I'm just asking you, have you ever studied what they have to say?
No, I've never deeply studied it because it offended me so bad I wouldn't want to even look at it.
Hmm. How did it offend you?
The fact that they've decided that one particular race of people is, what's the word I'm looking for? Superior to everybody else, and that particular viewpoint is just, I find, very objectionable. There's only 8 chromosomes between me and a black person. I'm white. Why should that make me be any better than them?
So, who even cares if there's 8 chromosomes difference? That's what I want to know.
Exactly. But what I'm saying is, as an intelligent person, I know that God made me, and God made black people, and God made yellow people, and just because of the fact that they spout so much hatred and advocate violence against people because of their race and their beliefs, I just, in my opinion, I think they did right. But anyway, that's all I had to say.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
And I appreciate your opinion and your call. 520-333-4578 is the number. And we're waiting to hear from you. You, that's right, you. I'm pointing right at you. Can't you see my finger coming out of your radio speaker? That I'm talking to you, boy. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening, Bill. This is Sam in Maryland.
Hi, Sam.
Hear me okay?
I sure can.
Okay, I don't agree with Dr. Pierce, but I think it was not a good thing they kicked him off because, like the other caller said, they kick him off and kick you off too. But something else I'd like to address, a few callers back, I think 4 or 5 back, guy slipped by with that word democracy. We gotta kill that word.
You know, well, on any other night, I would have picked that right up and said, "What do you mean? What do you mean by democracy?"
Oh, he said it. He said our democracy is a constitutional republic. We just gotta kill that word any chance.
Yeah. Well, this is not a democracy. Never was meant to be. Never is intended to be, and cannot be, unless you want to fall into socialism. And Karl Marx said that the end result or the goal of socialism is communism. V.I. Lenin said democracy is indispensable to socialism. Karl Marx said democracy is the road to socialism. And if communism is the ultimate goal of socialism, then if you really want that, then you really want communism. And if you want communism, in my humble opinion, you got to screw loose, buddy.
All right.
Not talking to you.
First thing I'd like to say.
Thank you.
I haven't heard you. Well, I guess it's been about a year and a half since I've been able to get you on shortwave. Sure was a pleasure to hear a little Dorothy say the Pledge of Allegiance.
Well, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Good night. And thank you for your call and for your opinion. Is anybody keeping score here? I stopped keeping score a long time ago. I don't know what the score is. It doesn't matter. We're just getting opinions anyway. Good evening. You're on the air.
Bill Cooper.
Yes, sir.
This is Helix from Detroit, and I would agree wholeheartedly that any individual has a right to say whatever they want to say, and I have fought for their right to say it before, and I will continue to do so because that's what makes this wonderful country the way it is. That way we can see both sides of whatever it may be, and that's my opinion, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
520-333-4578 is the number. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Bill.
Hi.
Last time I checked, anybody has a right to say anything short of sedition outside of talking about incitement to riot and fire in the theater and whatnot. But big but, Alan Weiner need not broadcast anything on his station that he doesn't see fit to.
Okay. What's the definition of sedition, by the way?
Well, that comes down to a judge's decision.
No, to have somebody convicted under law, there must be a definition in the law.
Well, there is a definition, I would bet.
Okay.
And what I'm saying is that ultimately it's subjective. It's down to a jury and judges.
Yeah, okay. But you're saying that, anyway, you're saying that, but you don't have the definition handy.
No, I don't.
Okay.
But well, you know, I'd be curious. In fact, I'm going to look now.
Yeah, you're right about that. It is against the law to preach sedition.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it probably ought to be, and when the time comes that I feel I need to talk sedition, I'll be prepared to defend myself accordingly.
Well, there's no need for any of us to talk sedition. If we're true Americans, what we talk is restoration, and if it takes the force of arms to restore the lawful government, we are right in the law, and whoever's subverting that government that forces us to restore it are the criminals.
Bill, I'll second that. You're a better spokesperson than I.
Well, I don't know about that. But I'm sure as hell trying, let me put it that way.
You are, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you for calling. 520-333-4578. I do not preach revolution or sedition. I preach restoration to constitutional Republican government as the Constitution for the United States guarantees us in Article 4, Paragraph 4. For those of you who think this is a democracy, I suggest you read the Constitution for the United States of America, and you will find out that it is a constitutional republic, and the Constitutional guarantees all of us. Not says we might have, or maybe somebody will give it to us, but we are guaranteed a republican form of government. Good evening, you're on the air.
Howdy, Bill.
Hi.
I guess you're here from another Marylander this evening.
Good. Hope we hear from a lot more.
Yeah, well, I think that as far as this mess goes, I think that William Pierce has his right to freedom of speech and freedom of expression.
Uh-huh.
But my opinion of it is that he's not guaranteed an audience. He doesn't have a right to an audience, I don't believe. And in my own capacity, whenever I hear him, he's fairly repugnant, and he's pretty ugly to me to hear this.
Uh-huh.
And the way I exercise my right there is, since I'm not obliged to listen to his garbage, is basically turn the radio off.
Ah.
In Alan Weiner's case, he simply pulled the plug.
Yeah, he certainly did that.
And I can't pick his mind, but I heard his. I heard him speaking Saturday evening, and I can't very well pick his mind, but I frankly think so many limits that I believe that a man, I think that he feels like he's aiding and abetting the enemy.
Uh-huh.
That's just my own opinion on it.
I think
I don't believe that.
I think he felt that he was hurting his father and some members of his family and friends very, very deeply. That's what I heard.
I beg your pardon?
I think that he felt that by allowing American dissident voices to be broadcast, he was really deeply injuring his father and other relatives and some very dear friends.
I didn't catch that part of it, or I wasn't able to extrapolate that from what I heard him say.
Oh, I heard that loud and clear. And he said a lot of other things. That wasn't the only thing that he said.
I did not catch the entire broadcast of his Saturday evening, but that's my opinion of it.
Okay.
All you have to do, if you want the educational channel on your television, is simply, it's called the off button.
Uh-huh.
And it's the same with this kind of crap.
Yeah, isn't it strange?
You're not obliged to listen to it, and if it repulses you, turn it off. And I think that's a good idea, and I would advocate that for Dr. Pierce.
Well, I would advocate it for anybody that a listener does not agree with, including me. Turn your radio off and go do something that makes you happy, instead of sitting there and listening and getting seething, angry, and mad, and then sending letters and emails and all kinds of things all over the place.
Well,
if you disagree with somebody...
Well, but I haven't heard anything like that from you.
No, I'm not talking to you personally. I'm talking generally to the audience. Don't take it personally.
All righty.
Okay?
Thanks.
Thank you for calling, and thank you for your opinion. yeah, turn off your radio if you don't like what's there, or change the dial and listen to somebody else, or go from shortwave to AM, and if you can't find anything on AM, go to FM, and if you can't find anything on shortwave, AM, or FM, then you need to see a therapist, in my opinion. That's only my opinion now. 520-333-4578. There's one other thing that Alan Weiner said during his explanation of why he booted American Dissident Voices from the airwaves, and we're going to talk about that right after this call. Good evening, you're on the air.
Yeah, this is Mike in South Florida. Good evening, Bill.
Hi, Mike.
I'm in the bathroom to get away from the radio.
Oh.
The thing is, first off, I don't agree with the person of WBCQ because he became judge and jury with no due process. Let me give you a little illustration.
Okay.
When a policeman gets in trouble with, like, a attempted murder or something like that, they don't fire him. They don't get him off the police force. They put him on suspension until he gets due process. In this case, the person from American Dissidents, he has to fight back to the courts because this person that didn't like his free speech should have sued him personally.
Well, they certainly have the right to do that, although I don't think they will because they didn't have a contract, to my knowledge. They may have had, I don't know, but I don't think they did because we just got ours today.
Don't you think, though, that what they're doing as far as one big swoop as far as making a determination with any due process is disregarding your Republican form of government?
Well, I don't want to inject my opinion in here because that will affect the opinion of the listeners.
Okay.
But I guarantee you, before the end of this broadcast, you will hear my opinion, not only my opinion, but what the Constitution says and what the law says. And by the end of this broadcast tonight, everybody's going to understand what free speech is, who has it, what you can do with it, how you can exercise it, and what it really means.
Well, people have a right to say what they want.
Yeah, they certainly do.
And to the point that they have the ability to defend themselves in the courts. Period.
Okay.
Thank you.
Oh, well, there you certainly touched upon something that is absolutely true. There is an imbalance between the ability of the rich and the ability of the poor to utilize due process in the courts. There's no doubt about that. The courts are not for the people anymore. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi.
Goodbye, Dodo Head. We got a real dummy out there. We used to call them poopy diapers. Maybe we'll start that again. 520-333-4578 is the number. Good evening, you're on the air.
Good evening, Bill. It's good to hear you again. I used to listen to you on WWCR, and I sure missed having you on the air.
Okay, thank you.
I have a couple of points I wanted to make on this.
Okay, can you talk just a little bit louder?
Okay.
That's a little better.
First point is that if the radio station makes a claim that they will broadcast anybody's opinion, then they should honor that promise. And if they do not do that, it is a bad reflection upon them and their credibility and their business approaches. The other point I was going to make is that I found other talk radio programs on, say, AM radio, where once I start to make a point, they immediately cut me off because they don't want to hear what I am saying because it is against their own agenda.
Mm-hmm.
I had this happen with WJJD out of Chicago, where a talk radio announcer by the name of Ty Wansley had asked that anybody who was in favor of Pat Buchanan voting for president, or becoming president, rather, that these people should call up and explain why. Well,
mm-hmm.
The announcer there was very much against Pat Buchanan, and I'm not fully for Pat Buchanan, mind you, but I felt he was a better pick than the other two bozos. And so I tried to call in there and express my point of view. Well, once I got to the screening person, the person there asked me for my name, and she also asked me what my point of view was. And I explained that I believe that Pat Buchanan would uphold the Constitution to a much greater extent than would Bob Brady, Bill Dole, or Moscow Willie.
Mm-hmm.
And so they kept me on hold for about an hour, and then finally they went ahead and changed the topic on me. They said, well, we're going to change the topics altogether, and if you were waiting to speak to Ty Wansley, too bad. And so anyway, so they deliberately kept me from getting on the air. And so I called back a second time.
Yeah.
And they gave me the same old runaround, and did it still yet a third time.
Okay.
And so it seems to me that on a lot of the talk radio, they claim freedom of speech, but they don't follow through with it. They give it lip service and nothing more. And I really appreciate WRNO that actually had put out this guy's broadcast. American Dissident Voices was on WRNO, and WRNO, before the broadcast even started, said, look, we honor people's First Amendment right of freedom of speech. We don't necessarily agree with the programming, but we're going to give them the chance to make their point of view, and if you don't like it, we'll give you equal opportunity to rebuttal on it. And so,
well, that's a whole other subject,
yeah.
That equal opportunity to rebut. Do you think people are entitled to do that?
Well, the only entitlements we have is our God-given rights, which the Constitution enumerates. Now, as far as what businesses want to do, it's their own thing, and we are in a dog-eat-dog world, so we have to understand that they don't necessarily play by the rules.
Yeah. Well, you're saying that if they don't allow you to rebut somebody who says something on the radio, they're not playing by the rules?
Well, if they make a claim that they'll allow you to give a rebuttal, then they need to honor that claim.
I see.
Yeah.
So it depends upon what contract they make verbally with the public.
That's right. And all too often these companies or agencies or whatever will walk away from the contract anyway. I've seen that in my employment, where they make a promise and they will not keep it, and they just leave you out in the cold. So this isn't anything new, whether it's freedom of speech or freedom of religion or any other rights that we claim to have.
Yeah, you know, I noticed that a lot of broadcasters talk about freedom a lot, but yet when it comes to somebody who doesn't agree with them or preaches a religion that they don't like, they spend a lot of time during their broadcast trying to destroy those other people who disagree with them. I've seen Brother Stair attacked viciously by people who claim to believe in freedom of religion. And don't get me wrong here either. I don't agree with Brother Stair at all. Anybody who has the audacity to declare himself the last day prophet of God and then issue a stream of prophecies that never come true has got a lot of guts, but is certainly misdirected. But he has the freedom to be that and say that as long as he can pay for his airtime and he can find somebody who will broadcast his preaching or whatever you want to call it.
Well, I getting back to the American Dissident Voices, I think one of the reasons why they were taken off the air, and I could be wrong, is that the Anti-Defamation League of the B'nai B'rith may have gotten on the case of Al Wiener and told him to get that program off.
Ah, you're hitting on one of my pet peeves.
Hmm.
The Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith is a dangerous, subversive organization.
They're the Jewish arm of Freemasonry, as I understand it.
Well, you see, I don't even think that they're a Jewish arm, because a lot of the things that the ADL does hurts Jews.
Yep.
Hurts Jews very, very badly.
Well, anytime you take away our constitutional rights, you're hurting everybody.
That's exactly right. That's my point. You take away the right or the freedom of one person, you have taken it away from everybody. But, you know, that has nothing to do with whether or not Al Wiener has the right to kick a program off of his station.
I lost a lot of respect for Al Wiener by him not honoring his promise. And while I think American Dissident Voices does peddle a lot of hatred, which is bad for this nation, that really the stations should have gone ahead and broadcast American Dissident Voices and then come on right afterwards with an editorial and explain why you disagree with what was said. And that way you can have a point and counterpoint, which they don't do. It's more convenient to just force the person to shut up or just yank them off the air or whatever and sweep the whole thing under the carpet rather than to address it head on.
Okay, so let me see if I can sum up in a nutshell what you said. You're saying, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, you're saying that Al Wiener had the right to kick off American Dissident Voices, but you believe that he failed in his own contract that he made with the listening audience and his broadcasters in stating that what he did about free speech and WBCQ. Is that correct?
That's essentially correct.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Take care.
Thank you.
One thing that I heard Alan Weiner say that caught my ear immediately during his explanation, and folks, this is not a pick on Alan Weiner broadcast. That's not what we're trying to do. I just heard him say this, and it caught my ears immediately, and I want to see what you think about it. He said that freedom of speech exists only for the print media, not for broadcasting. Is that true? And if it's true, why? If it's not true, why not? Good evening. You're on the air. Hi.
Long-time listener, going back all the way to the fire. What was it? Long time ago.
Yeah, when I was broadcasting from Waco, Texas, and I told everybody that if we didn't stop, what was going to happen? All those people were going to be murdered. And that very night, they burned WWCR to the ground.
Absolutely. A long-time admirer, and I actually work in a library, in a research library now.
Uh huh. Well, I wish I could have done that during my life. what a wonderful place to be for somebody like me. That's
the AV department.
That's my idea of heaven.
Yeah, it's really neat. And you said a long time ago it would be hard to find stuff in U.S. code books because of the people that work there.
No. It's not hard to find things in U.S. code books or anything else if you have access to them. You see, in some libraries,
there's people that work in this particular library who think it's their job to limit access to information.
That's why I made that statement. There are librarians and people who want to suppress freedom, mm-hmm. and like the way this country's going and don't want people to find out the truth, who will keep you from finding certain books or certain codes or regulations or executive orders in the law so that you can't find out how this country is being destroyed from within.
Yeah. I just found your program. I haven't listened to you, I guess, in the last 2 or 3 years. I went through a big, huge personal matter. But where are you broadcasting from? I found the station and...
From my studio in my home.
Which is where?
In Arizona.
Oh, okay, so you're still in Arizona.
Yeah, I never went anywhere.
Oh, okay, because I haven't been able to find you on the air for a long time. I live in I have a little tiny shortwave receiver, so it's not that great. But I've been an admirer and a listener. I don't always agree, but I can't see any reason to shut anybody up.
It's never been a requirement of this broadcast that anybody agree with me or anyone else.
Yep.
The requirement is that you listen, hopefully that you learn something. If you don't believe what we're saying, go out and find the documentation and look it up, and hopefully you will wake up and begin to practice original thought instead of parroting what you're told. That's the purpose of the hour of the time.
Also, a comment about the caller a while ago, thinking about the concept of due process to a radio program. It's somebody's business. I mean, if I'm a sound engineer, if I showed up somewhere and I have to do sound at a Nazi rally, I'm not going to do it. Am I denying them due process?
No, say that again because I missed something here.
No, just the concept. The caller, a couple of callers ago, said that the program, the American Voices of Freedom or whatever that was.
American Dissident Voices.
Okay, Dissident Voices, sorry. He was talking about being denied due process. I guess I'm agreeing with you. I mean...
I haven't stated my opinion. How can you agree with me?
No. What you said earlier about, I mean, it should be someone's choice whether to broadcast something or not.
I didn't say that. The caller said that.
Okay, I guess I've kind of messed this up.
That's okay. Straighten it out and say what you want to say.
Okay, give me a second. I was just saying, isn't it the broadcaster's choice what to broadcast?
Okay. I told you at the beginning of the broadcast, I'm not going to give my opinion until later. Well, this is for you to give yours. Is that your opinion?
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, if the broadcaster of this didn't want to broadcast it, that's his right to not broadcast it, whether he's Jewish or not.
The Jewishness of it never entered the picture.
Well, no, a couple of callers have mentioned this.
Well, that's their personal opinion, yeah.
Well, I'm also stating
about
okay,
this.
Okay. Okay, I just don't want anybody to get confused and think that this is a Jewish issue. It's not. It's a free speech issue.
Absolutely.
Period.
Is it, okay, is it this, the broadcaster that turned off the American Dissident Voices, is it his responsibility to give them their freedom of speech?
That's the question we put to you. What's your answer?
I don't believe so.
Okay, very good. Okay.
Why don't they raise the money and get their own radio station?
Hold on, we got to change this tape here. We got so engrossed in what you were saying that we forgot to change the tape. Okay, we're now back in good graces with the tape. Go ahead.
No, it's this broadcaster's business to broadcast something if it's hate-filled or not, right?
Well, if you're asking my approval, I can't tell you that. I'm asking your opinion. If
okay,
that's...
Okay.
Okay, very good.
That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
Sorry, I just kind of said things backwards.
That's all right. That's okay.
Okay.
Sometimes we all do that.
Yep.
Thank you for your call and for your opinion.
Thank you.
520-333-4578 is the number. What is your opinion? I specifically want to know now what you think about Alan Weiner's statement that free speech only applies to print media and not to broadcasting. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening, Bill. More than likely, this being a commercial station and Mr. Weiner being regulated by the FCC, they probably entered into a...
Can you talk louder, please?
Yeah, Mr. Weiner being a commercial station.
Okay.
And more than likely is regulated fully by the FCC.
Absolutely. You accept a license. You have agreed to live by their rules.
Right. So their rules would have provisions to limit free speech. Also, Mr. Weiner would probably enter into a contract with these people to broadcast.
Absolutely.
And that contract would have limitations to free speech.
Now let's clarify that. What do you mean by limitations to free speech?
All right. The agreements within the contract, the terms and conditions of the contract.
Would limit what to what?
They would allow certain things to happen under the contract by each party, and because there's money exchanged, then there is value received for money paid.
Okay, but you're not really saying that the FCC in its contract with commercial broadcasters forces them to limit or do away with free speech. You're not saying that, are you?
No.
Okay.
Saying that there are regulations that they have plugged into the system that you must follow to stay on the air.
Okay.
And there would be regulations or agreements within each contract for the time that these people would contract for with Mr. Weiner, and both sides, Mr. Weiner receiving money, the other side receiving time, there would be terms and conditions. And if those terms and conditions of the contract and possibly the regulations of the FCC are violated, whether that's a free speech issue or not, that would give Mr. Weiner the ability to terminate based on that.
Yeah. Okay, let me explain something to you, because I think the audience is probably very confused by now. The only thing that we as purchasers of airtime are limited to is there's 7 words we cannot say. 7 words we cannot say. We cannot preach sedition. We can say anything else in the world we want to, period. There is no limitation on that.
Okay, well, I was just saying that in most cases where, you know, somebody would think that free speech can be a clear, open-ended issue, it can be restricted by regulations.
No, it cannot be. It's guaranteed by the Bill of Rights. It cannot be restricted by anything. There are only a few things you can do. You cannot preach sedition. You cannot say 7 words that have been deemed to be obscene. That's it.
Well,
now, if you want to test that, like some people have, and risk getting a huge fine, and you have a lot of money for a big team of lawyers like Howard Stern did, you will eventually win in court, because even saying you can't say those 7 words is a limitation of free speech, and saying those 7 words cannot be proven to hurt anyone.
Right.
Now, preaching sedition is something altogether different.
But if when you entered into the contract with Mr. Weiner, if there was terms terms and conditions in the contract.
The only term and condition is that he can give us 1 week notice and we can give him 1 week notice. There are no other terms and conditions except that we pay the mutually agreed upon fee.
Right, but if he had something in there.
If he had something in there and we agreed to sign it, then our signature would bind us to that contract.
Exactly, and many contracts do it exactly that way.
Yes.
But there are limitations.
Yes, but you don't have to accept them. You don't have to sign the contract, number one. You can go somewhere else. Or number two, you can line out what you disagree with, initial it, and you can both mutually agree upon certain things that you will accept or not accept in the contract, and you can go about your business and still have a contract.
That's
just because it's written in there doesn't mean that you must accept it.
But I have another scenario that has nothing to do with broadcasting. I witnessed a person trying to make a case in a point within a court of law, and were completely shut down by the judge and not allowed to explain exactly what he was doing.
Yeah, that's for another night.
I understand.
Okay.
But again, the speech was restricted.
Yeah, I know. It goes on. These are not our courts anymore.
I understand.
This country is being subverted from within. For all intents and purposes, the Constitution's been thrown into the trash can. Unless you understand the law enough to be able to force these people to go by it.
Well, also, in many cases, it's considered in contracts.
Well, wait a minute. Let's stick to the issue tonight. We're way beyond it, so I got to let you go.
Okay.
Thank you for calling, and you know, come back on another night when we're discussing those particular issues, and we'll be glad to do that. But tonight we're talking about American Dissident Voices being booted off of WBCQ and Alan Weiner's statement that freedom of speech does not apply to radio and television, but only to the print media. He made that statement. I heard it loud and clear. Did you hear it, Doyle?
Yeah.
Did you hear it?
Yeah, written, the freedom of the press, he stressed.
Yeah, okay. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill Cooper.
Yes, sir.
Hi, this is Dr. Tornado, a real free broadcaster.
Well, good.
Radio Metallica Worldwide. How you doing?
Good. I'm doing fine.
I think you're just as guilty as Al Weiner.
How's that?
Because you are operating under a government-controlled radio station right now.
I'm also operating concurrently on one that is not.
Well, how do you say that?
Because we are broadcasting a 101.1 FM Eager, which is a micro-powered community service.
Wait, why is it micro?
Pardon?
Why is it micro?
Because it's all I can afford.
Oh, well, I'd help you with that.
Well, maybe we can talk.
I'd love to put you on the air on a real radio station.
Well, I have a real radio station. We broadcast to 7,000 people. You can hear it about 15 miles in every direction.
How about 1,000 watts or 2,000 watts?
Well,
why is everybody scared?
Well, wait a minute. Don't get excited. There's only 7,000 people here, and I'm talking to all of them. There is nobody else to talk to. If I had 1,000 watts, it wouldn't be heard by anybody.
Well, with somebody as intelligent as you, you should be in a big city.
Oh, no, no. Somebody as intelligent as me should never, ever be in a big city. Ever, ever, ever. That is the last place in the world that I would ever want to be.
But look how many people you could affect.
That's not what I'm thinking. I'm affecting more people right now than I ever would in a big city. I wouldn't even live long in a big city, to tell you the truth.
I think you'd have a bigger impact, like, say, in Philadelphia or New York.
Well, I might have, but I wouldn't live long. Here, I'm going to live long and grow old. I have a lot of supporters here. They're all true blue Americans. They believe in freedom, the Constitution. They belong to the militia. They all own weapons. And if anybody ever comes up here to hurt me, it's going to be the worst thing that they ever decided to do in their entire life.
I love you. You're a fantastic person. Radio Mauser Worldwide also listens to you. Dr. Selson, he's a big fan of yours.
Oh, great.
Absolutely. You're the best. Absolutely, you are the best. You say what has to be said. As far as Al Weiner, I'm Jewish, and American Dissident Voices, any type of censorship is wrong. Any type of censorship, profanity, anything is wrong. If you cannot exercise your freedoms, then what do we have?
Then you have tyranny.
That's right. I agree with that.
Well, you're a friend of mine.
Yeah.
Well, if you want me to put you on the air, on my free radio station, I have a very powerful pirate station.
You
on 6955. I could be here also on 7415.
Uh huh.
I don't have the antenna that Al Wiener has, but I certainly have United States coverage.
Well, he certainly has a good antenna.
He has a beautiful system.
Yeah.
A friend of mine helped him put it all together up there.
Well, they did a good job.
Absolutely. It sounds fantastic. But I think years ago when he did the Radio New York International on the boat, I think a lot of the pirate radio thing is a lot of ego.
Uh-huh.
There's a lot of ego behind Al Wiener. And I think he likes to be heard.
Well, he loves radio. I have no doubt that he likes to be heard. I mean, that's his passion. I've known that for many years since I met him, and I've not met him. We've been friends.
But to sell yourself out and get an FCC license, you know what I mean? It's like a fishing license. I absolutely refuse to have a fishing license. You need a license to catch a fish. I mean, and it's the same thing with radio.
You know what a license is for?
What?
It's to do something that is prohibited by the king.
Right, exactly.
You must get a license from the king to do something that the king prohibits. Mm-hmm. So anything that must be licensed is unlawful, illegal, prohibited by the king. Anybody who gets a business license is falling right into the big trap.
Mm-hmm. I haven't had a driver's license in 10 years.
I don't either.
I know. It's ridiculous. You got to have a license to drive.
No, it's not illegal to drive.
Most of the states call it a privilege. You have a privilege.
It is a revenue-generating device.
Absolutely.
And I've had this argument with police officers. Well, if nobody was licensed, there'd be 25,000 more accidents. And I say, can you prove that statistically? Isn't it true that statistically almost all accidents are caused by and participated in by licensed drivers? And you should see the look on their face.
Oh, yeah. I'll tell you what, if you didn't have a license in this communist society we live in, I think you probably would drive more careful.
Well, it's not communist yet, but it's getting there.
Yeah, because you would be, subject to the king if you got caught, so you'd probably be a better driver.
Yeah.
You know.
And freedom of travel in your own property.
You can't even go across the bridge without paying the king.
Well, if you're going to use the bridge that the king built, then you got to pay his toll. That's lawful.
Of course, if you tried to build your own bridge, you got together with your neighbors and tried to put a bridge across a river, they'd burn it down.
First they'd smack you down, yeah. Then they'd burn it down.
Burn everything down.
And they'd burn you.
Can't even walk. You know, I went for a walk in a park a couple days ago, this local park up here, and I went, and they gave me a fine because I walked out of the park boundaries and into the woods. I saw an animal, I started it. So I got a fine.
You're kidding.
Out of the park boundaries.
You're kidding, really? What's the justification for that? I mean, how do they justify that?
You have no justification. It's total crap. You can't do anything. Our freedoms are stripped every day. They take more freedoms from us.
So you're absolutely correct.
It's pathetic. It sickens me. I moved a dumpster. How's this one? I have an unregistered vehicle and no license, and I happen to work for a king. We'll call him a little king.
Uh-huh.
We'll call him a prince. And I got a $500 fine for moving a dumpster that was on the property that was in a fire zone. Now, I respect fire. Fire burns people. Fire hurts. And there's a lot of good-hearted people that happen to be associated with volunteer fire companies.
Yes.
Respect that. So I was told to move a dumpster. So I went ahead with my unregistered truck, no license, moved a dumpster last week. And was fined $500 after I was told.
That's incredible. Well, it doesn't surprise me a bit at all.
It's horrible. And then, everybody blames...
Wait, hold on. I got to do this thing for Al Wiener. WBCQ, Monticello, Maine, USA. Now we have fulfilled our obligation.
Yeah, you got to do that ID.
Yep, we do.
They'll raid your house. They'll burn you up. you know, me and my friend were talking. Señor El Niño, he's the other partner in the station, Radio Metallica Worldwide. And we were talking the other day. And we were talking about putting up black curtains in your window. You know you're not allowed to put up black curtains in your window.
No, I've done that on many occasions, as a matter of fact.
You can't, if you put plywood up in your windows, you're a threat.
Where is this at?
This is anywhere. Try it. Try in the city. If they can't see in, think about it. Here they are walking around. Here, you have some neighbors walking
around.
Well,
I know that makes the Gestapo very nervous when
can't. Yeah, like your neighbor goes, hey, Phyllis. Yeah, Henry. Hey, we can't see in over there.
I also know that in the neighboring city, that neighboring here is 50 miles away.
Yeah.
In the neighboring city of Sholo, a man was walking naked through his living room. Right. He had these wispy curtains over his windows, and there was no house or anybody near, and there was no reason for anybody to be in any position where they could look in his windows. A woman looked in his window, saw him naked in his own home, and he was arrested.
He was what, for voyeur? What would it be?
I have no idea what the charges were. All I know is they came and arrested him because some woman looked in his window and saw him in his own living room naked.
Absolutely. And she looked in his window. He was probably arrested for exposing himself. The laws have been so twisted.
You see, I would have arrested her.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
For looking in his window, for causing a disturbance, and for causing the city to spend money by deploying a police officer somewhere to do something based upon something she was not supposed to be doing in the first place. You're not supposed to go around looking in people's windows.
She should have been arrested for trespassing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because she was able to see in his window.
Yeah, and voyeurism.
Well, yeah, right. And she was close. That means she was trespassing, unless she was using binoculars.
Well, she may have been. I don't know. I don't know all the details of the story. I just know this from some of the neighbors that this actually did happen, and there was a lot of disgust over that. I got to tell you, people.
Incredible. Like I said, I'm in the big cities here. I'm right between two huge cities, New York and Philadelphia.
Uh huh. Well, I think somebody could walk down Broadway naked, and nobody in New York would say anything.
Oh yeah. Well, you know that. a lot of weirdos around, but I respect weirdos. They want to be weird, let them be weird. People can do anything they want. If I don't like what they're doing, I'll walk away, just like one of the callers said. I don't have to subject myself to something.
Yeah.
I can walk away.
Yeah.
And unless they're running after me, then I'll run. If I don't like what somebody has to say, I'll turn the radio off, but I will not hinder somebody's freedom of speech. I will not. And Al Wiener, by doing it, he took it away. He took it away. I know he's probably under scrutiny in his mind since he's a news station. He's been through hell and back with the FCC and the legalities. I'm sure he spent thousands of dollars on this stuff. But, he went against his word as a free broadcaster, and he really is a good guy, but to yank this off...
Yes, he is a good guy, and I consider...
Absolutely.
I've considered him to be my personal friend since 1992.
Right, and I don't think it was done upon himself. I think there was external pressures to do this. I think possibly his father... And whatever. But I'm Jewish, and I'll tell you what, being on the air right now, I'd like to put American dissident voices on the air, and I'm Jewish. If you guys would like to write me at the Blue Ridge Summit address, you guys can write me.
Why don't you give out your address, and I'm sure they will write you.
Hey, that's P.O. Box 109, Blue Ridge Summit, Pennsylvania. What's the damn zip code?
I have no idea.
I'm drawing a blank.
Okay. Well, it'll get there if they write
to that. Yeah, use the pirate radio, the mail drop, and the blue. I just drew a blank.
Okay.
I just drew a blank. I'll let you carry on. I'm enjoying the show. You're fantastic. Hello to the other guy in the background.
Doyle, say hello.
Hello.
You're sitting next to one of the finest men I've ever heard or ever knew.
Well, I certainly appreciate that.
You're fantastic. Keep up the good work, Bill.
Thank you.
Take care.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you for your opinion and for your call. 520-333-4578. Well, American Dissident Voices may have a place to broadcast. 520-333-4578 is the number. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Mr. Cooper. Captain Audio in the nation's capital.
Hello.
Several points, if I may.
Uh-huh.
Point number one, I think Dodo Head is far superior to Poopy Diapers.
Dodo Head, you like that better, huh?
Yes, I think that's far more dignified. But point in regard to Mr. Wiener, he has, as the licensee of the station, the absolute authority to dictate what is said on his show at any time. That is his right. Anyone that would like to get a radio station and do what he has done is certainly open to do so.
Uh-huh.
The point I'd like to make is that I personally heard Alan Wiener talking about how this station would be free speech and would provide all perspectives. Now, if he's had a change of policy, I think it's only prudent that you put Mr. Wiener on the air to explain his motivation.
Well, I think he did that. We're not attacking Mr. Wiener. are making this, you know, get Mr. Wiener. All we're doing is asking for opinion from the listening audience, and then we're going to go through the Constitution and the law, and we're going to discover what free speech really is and who has it and why and how it can be exercised.
A noble thing for you to do. I think, though, that my issue with him is that...
I mean, he owns the radio station. He can get on and talk for 24 hours if he wants. We're paying for three.
Of course, my issue, though, however, is that he said it was going to be free and offer all opinions, and then, apparently, has changed his policy. I think I'd like to hear what he has to say about that, because I don't particularly like dissident voices. I find their perspective rather repugnant and ethnocentric. But they, if they can buy time, they have a right to air their opinion, and I have a right to think and use my mind and think that they are total dodo heads.
Boy, you just touched upon something that really bothers me. Who are all these people out there who don't think that I'm capable of listening to something and deciding whether it's right or wrong and exercising my own choice as to whether to listen or not or to believe what somebody says or not?
Well stated, precisely.
That really bothers me. Really bothers me.
In any case, I would, if Mr. Wiener is listening, I would personally like to invite him to make it publicly known at what time he'll come on the air and explain the change of policy, because I was actually very excited when this station first came on that there would be a plethora of differing opinions.
I think a lot of people were excited about that.
And now I'm actually, quite frankly, disappointed in him, and I have been listening to all of you people for many years. Even back in the old WWCR days, I even heard Gary Bourgeois talking about this free speech and every opinion on the air. And fully do I support Mr. Wiener's right to dictate what happens on his station, but if he's going to tell the listening public that he is going to offer every perspective, then I think you should follow through with that, don't you?
Well, if I gave my word to someone, I would certainly fulfill my promise of that word. And if I found that I couldn't do it, then I certainly would explain to everyone why and how and what the new rules were. But, you know, Alan did that. You may have missed his broadcast. He was on for quite a while explaining why he made his decision and what happened. And I forget what night it was. What night was it? Was that Saturday?
Saturday
evening, yes.
Well, that would have been one of the broadcasts that I missed. Could you fill in the listening public what his motivation for doing so was?
Well, I heard what he said, and I know what I came away with, but I don't want to speak for Alan Wiener. Maybe he'll do that again on another night for everybody who missed it, because I know there's a lot of people who are concerned about what happened.
To dictate how you operate your free speech, but I would propose that if it were possible and everyone was willing and you were agreeable, to call him up on the phone and put him on the air.
Well, maybe Alan Wiener will call in right now. I know he's listening.
It's rather difficult to get a line in, I will tell you, and the circuits, I've received a recording several times that the circuit you're trying to call is busy. Try your call at another time.
Yeah.
So,
well, that happens.
There are probably a lot of people trying to get in with their opinion, and I won't hog it any longer, but I would think, were I you, which I'm not, that I'd call him up at home and put him on the air, give him a platform, see what he says.
He's not at home. He's at the station, and I don't know if he's prepared to do that. I wouldn't, you know, I think it's extremely rude to call somebody cold who didn't know they were going to be in a live broadcast and put them on the air just like that. I know I wouldn't want it to happen to me, although it has on several occasions, and I have come through it unscathed. It is still an extremely rude thing to do. But
I would agree with that also.
Yeah.
So perhaps you could have Doyle use another line, call him up and see if he's willing.
We don't have another line.
Oh,
this
well,
is it.
There goes that idea.
This is
Thanks.
It.
Keep up the good work. I won't hog it.
Thank you for
Thanks.
Calling.
Yes, sir.
And like I said, Alan explained himself really well. I understood exactly what he was saying, and everybody who was listening did, too. I know that because I've seen the comment on the Internet and elsewhere. And and he owns the station. You know, he has as much airtime as he wants. He can get on and talk till the moon turns purple. Good evening. You're on the air.
Bill, this is Guy from the heart of Texas.
Hi, Guy. How's Texas doing?
Oh, it's pretty good. I just wanted to briefly give my opinion on it. I think what some of the callers are missing is that the fact that the Constitution, for the most part, and specifically the Bill of Rights, is a list of restrictions on public employees. So that restricts public employees from interfering with free speech. And doesn't apply to private industry. And as far as the issue of which media it is, whether it's print or radio, I think it's it applies equally to all.
Very good points.
Thank you.
Anything you want to add? Nope, he's gone. Okay. 520-333-4578. Well, that's a good way to say no as any, I guess. 520-333-4578 is the number if you want to get your 2 cents or 12 cents or 14 cents in here. You know, nobody has commented. Well, I guess he just did. He just did comment on the statement that Alan Weiner made that freedom of speech only applies to print media, not radio or television. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hey, Bill. It's Jim Taylor over in Kentucky.
Hello, Jim.
How's everything?
Good.
Say, I've heard some of your comments there tonight, and, first, the freedom of speech is one thing, but then the guarantees of it under the Constitution pertain to citizen versus government. It has nothing to do with citizen to citizen. Now, they've mentioned contracts tonight, and I believe that's probably the answer. I'm sure there's a contract involved, and now whether the station manager is going to honor his contract, or we don't really know what's in the contract. As far as him saying you could do what you wanted, or you'd have the freedom of speech, so to speak, these guys will say anything to get a quota filled.
Well, is that a contract? When he said that on the air, did that constitute a contract?
Well, I would say that it probably did to the public, but not necessarily to an individual. Otherwise, you wouldn't have a contract. I would assume you have a contract, signed contract with him, don't you? A written contract?
Well, we have a contract that he signed. We haven't signed it and sent it back yet.
Okay, but
that's only because we just got it today.
Yeah. So, you know, he's probably, I'd say, Weiner, whatever his name, I'd say he's probably one of these liberals that think they have the authority and they're wiser than everyone else, and they can decide what everyone should listen to or whatever. That's probably his point there. He's going to enforce his agenda on everyone, whether they like it or not.
Well, that doesn't sound like Alan Weiner to me.
Well, there must be something to it. Now, he, for some reason, he's balked on American Dissident Voices.
Yes, he did.
And now I don't know what their contracts, specified, but...
I'm not even sure that they had one.
But we need to look at that. Now, he's not totally ignorant of what's going on the airways. He's bound to have known what their purpose is or what their broadcast consists of.
Oh, I'm sure he did.
Why would he do that other than to embarrass them? And to he's using this to make a point for some reason. I don't know what his reason would be, but it was embarrassing to them more than anything else.
Well, I don't know, because they're used to that. That's happened to them so many times. I know for a fact that Alan Weiner was embarrassed terribly to have to reverse himself.
Yeah. Well, like I say, he knows their agenda, so why would he even allow them on there to start with?
Well, that's a good question.
You know, and then turn around and do a stunt like that. See, that's all it is a stunt for some particular reason that I don't have the answer to. But anyway... that's my point, is freedom of speech, we all talk about it, but when you talk about First Amendment guarantees under the Constitution, that's for government oppression, not citizen to citizen. That's why we have contracts. You have an unlimited right to contract according to the Constitution.
That's
but
correct.
When you sign a contract, you have to live up to it.
Yes, you do.
And so now, what my suggestion is, that if you guys are really serious about defending freedom of speech, why don't you all just drop off the air on that station and say, well, we're going to find us a station that lives up to their word.
Well, we'll certainly consider that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for your call and for your opinion. 520-333-4578. I don't think we're going to drop off the air. Took us too long to get 3 hours in prime time and to be able to exercise our freedom of speech. I don't think we're going to go anywhere unless we get kicked off, too, and I've been assured that's not going to happen. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill. It's Alan Weiner.
Hi, Alan. Well, you know, I think a lot of people out there are glad you called. I hope you understand this is not...
I've been listening to the show, and it's been real fascinating, and I figured I'd dial up and clarify a few things. And
okay.
Maybe, make a few statements, or if anything you want to ask me regarding any of the caller's comments. But I don't... When I was talking with Keith LaMonica on his program last night, it was late. I don't remember everything I was saying, but I do know one thing. The way I was trying to explain to him about my feelings about free speech regarding broadcasting, what I was saying, or what I meant to say, is the government of this country does not regard the electronic media that it has the same First Amendment rights as the printed media does. I mean, in my experience being in broadcasting as many years as I have, the government does not apply the same standards.
So when we heard you make that statement that I referred to earlier, you weren't talking about that there is no constitutional right to free speech on radio and television.
Well,
you were saying that the government has the idea that there isn't.
That's right. The way I feel, okay, my philosophy is that because most people get their information from the electronic media in this modern world of ours, that the electronic media should have the same types of First Amendment and free speech protection as the printed media does. But as I've been in court many times with the FCC on it, that there is no, as far as the government is concerned, there is no constitutional right to broadcast. However, anyone...
At least for the poor man.
Well...
I mean, if you got enough money, you can purchase a station and broadcast all you want.
I know that, but if you're just an individual and you set up a printing press in your basement right now and start printing millions of leaflets that you can distribute all over the country, you do not need a license for it.
No, and it costs almost nothing to do that.
If you put a 50,000-watt shortwave station on your property and beam to this country without a license, they will stop you, and they will stop you very quickly.
Yes.
It is not...
They will do that, absolutely.
I've never looked at the electronic media with the same standards as our founding fathers wanted the printed media to be.
Well, you know, when they made the freedom of speech, they weren't talking just about the printed media. That just happened to be the only media they had.
I know that. But unfortunately, the courts of this land have not given... the entire veil of protection to the electronic media. I feel that the standards are exactly the same. That if you do not protect the First Amendment rights of what governments can do to the electronic media as well as the print, we're in trouble. We're in big trouble.
Yeah. Alan, did you feel that eventually American Dissident Voices was going to get you in trouble?
You know, On my Friday night program, I spent 1 hour explaining why I removed American Dissident Voices from the air.
Yes, we listened to that.
Fortunately, I think the propagation was just shot to hell that night, and not many people heard it. And what was on Keith LaMonica's program, a full explanation would probably take a lot of time. It was a very, very gut-wrenching ordeal, and I am responsible for that decision. No one else but me. That's number one. Number two, it violated every principle that I feel and hold dear, that everyone has a right to speak on the radio and everyone should be given that right. However, yes, I did change the way I felt on that one specific program, because I did get some input from a lot of other people, and yes, it did hurt my father, which was an unexpected situation. And I did not think it would tear at the fabric of my soul the way it did. I mean, the day I decided to pull ADV off the air, which is, to me, the most repulsive program that I've ever heard, but the day I decided to pull it off, there were tears in my eyes because it violated a deep principle, and I knew it was a no-win situation. And to all the listeners out there that hold me to my principles of allowing all voices on the air, I apologize and I am sorry. But in this one instance, and I plan to make it the last instance, I had to do it. Their program was not a program in my heart. It did not fill the definition or the oral contract of a political, well-produced program as they purported it to me when we first discussed putting them on the air.
Uh-huh.
What it was to me was a program that completely and utterly debased the Jewish people and incited others to cause harm to the same. That fell all out of the definitions of a political or a politically incorrect program as they purported the program to be when I first was discussing it with them. And mm-hmm. I did preview their show before I put it on the air. And I listened to Dr. Pierce, and a lot of what he said was very repulsive to me, but I figured maybe this is just a one-time thing in a program, because on very controversial programs, people get emotional, and sometimes they say things like you know, against one, you know, blacks or Jews or whatever. So I just figured it was one program, and that was it. But playing subsequent programs over the air tore at my soul. I knew it was evil, and I knew it was wrong.
Well, it was evil, and I specifically heard a subsequent program where he called for the American people to root out and destroy all Jews.
That's right.
And that
was not a program to me. It had gone beyond the definitions of a program. I mean, Pete, sometimes you have to stand up and you have to call, you know, you have to shout out if something you feel is evil and wrong. And sometimes you have to make a decision based on that that you don't want to make. But I did not close the door on American dissident voices. I spoke with their representatives on the telephone, who were very pleasant, and I explained to them my reasonings for removing Dr. Pierce off the air.
Uh-huh.
And I said, you know, you have a message to get out. Some of his political ideology that I can sense in between all the Jew hating probably, you know, deserves to be on the air. And I suggested that perhaps if you remove the Jew bashing and the direct assault on harming them out of it and concentrate on the political points and controversy, that, you know, I will welcome you back on the air and put you back on the air. And they said, no, he's not going to change the way he does his programs. And I said, fine, I will leave the door open, and I will still leave the door open.
Uh-huh.
If they remove that one thing that they're saying that to me is not part of the program. It is just to incite harm and do harm to a group of people. Again.
What do you think would have happened if he had called for all Americans to root out and destroy all Negroes?
I probably would have felt the same way. If it was incessant, you know, if it was a one-time thing out of passion.
Uh-huh.
You know, sometimes talk show hosts get very passionate.
Well, I do that on occasion myself.
I can see that. That's no problem. But if it's constant, I mean, if every single broadcast was you've got to go out and you've got to rout out the black population and you have to eliminate them, if every single program was that purpose, that's not a political program.
Or the whites. What if it was a black host who wanted to root out and destroy all the whites?
The same thing.
Okay. I just want to make that point clear to the audience. I know that, Alan.
It doesn't matter whether it's, you know, Jews or Catholics or Christians or Buddhists or Hindus or blacks or whites or whatever.
Uh-huh.
Polka dots.
Yeah.
It's the same principle. And as I did state on
our Mormons.
Pardon me?
Our Mormons.
As I did state on my program on Friday night and Keith's on Saturday night.
Let's get all Americans to root out and destroy every Mormon in this country. And tomorrow we'll do the Catholics. How about that?
Well, I guess I'm giving equal time of hate to everyone, but I don't wear or accomplish anything.
Would it be okay for them to come on if they did give equal hate to every group?
That would be a very strange radio station. It really would. I hope the reality of life hasn't gone over to that camp yet.
It's not far from it, Alan.
Hatred is hatred. I mean, it's not a good thing, and I think most people can see it and can root it out and understand it, which actually is one of the reasons why I first put the ADV on the air.
You know what? We let the Chinese off the hook, and I don't think that ought to happen. Let's root them out too.
Well, you know, the other thing I wanted to comment on is that free speech holds a responsibility.
Yes, it does.
It requires diligence, because if we're not diligent with it and keep reminding our government leaders and everyone, you know, people that run radio stations like myself, I mean, you have to keep reminding everybody that we have it and we hold it dear. But there is a responsibility with it. And I mean, it's the old cliche, you know, you can't run into a theater and yell fire, because you're going to hurt people and people are going to trample each other and get killed.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's a balancing act, and it always will be a balancing act, because we're human. Hey, I'm not perfect, and I'm going to screw up, and I'm going to make mistakes.
Oh, I do it all the time, Alan.
And if I still hold the same principles, and I will run WBCQ under the same principles that I hold dear. I will try to get as many diverse voices on the air, and I will try to open the airwaves up to as many people as possible. And even if, you know, if they don't agree with me politically or socially or religiously or whatever, but I'm human, and I mean, I have limits too, and I have to listen to.
Don't you live in New York?
I grew up in New York City.
Well, isn't it true that nobody in New York City agrees with anybody?
I don't know. I always found New Yorkers to be pretty good people. I mean, everybody's always been bashing on New Yorkers, but I always found them to be pretty open and interesting. You know, once you break through their facade of protection, because it's so crowded.
Yeah, it is a facade, isn't it?
But, you know, I mean, we try. I'm not perfect. I'm going to make mistakes. I'm sorry if
no, you're not. That's not allowed, Alan. You will not make mistakes.
Yes.
Or we'll root you out and destroy you.
I mean, I'm sorry if I hurt anybody by putting the program on, and I apologize to anyone by taking the program off. I don't want a repeat performance of it. American Dissident Voices is welcome to come back on WBCQ if they stop going out there and telling people to eradicate or do harm to the Jewish people. That's the only requirement I ask. Just like, you know, if a broadcaster came on the air and did the F word, you know, all he wanted to do was the F word constantly. All I want to do is the F word.
Which word?
One right after the other.
Which word is that?
I have to say no. I'd lose my license.
Which word is that specifically?
So anyway, I am enjoying your program and enjoying the comments.
Make sure you listen to the rest of it, because we're not finished.
I shall grab my glass of milk and a piece of some homemade chocolate cake that a listener sent me. And I shall enjoy the rest of the program and have a good show.
Great, Alan. Thank you for calling.
You bet.
I know that some of the listeners certainly appreciated that. Okay, now it's time, folks. Don't call now. It's time for Doyle to do his thing. For you, those of you listening in the Round Valley of Arizona, we're going to take 101.1 FM off the air now, because it is a nonprofit community service station, and there cannot and will not be any commercials. So if you will take that off, I will take the transmitter off, and we will come back on the air shortly.